This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Doctors, psychiatrists, and other health professionals say marijuana can be very damaging to young and developing brains, and that they're seeing young people with increasingly negative effects from consuming the drug. We'll save the policy discussion for another day, but right now we want to learn more about what we know about cannabis and the developing brain from Dr. David Ratu, director of the Pediatric Psychiatry Unit at UVM's Lerner College of Medicine. He's also the medical director for the Vermont Department of Mental Health's Child, Adolescent, and Family Division. Dr. Ratu, nice to speak with you again.
Nice to be back.
How does marijuana act differently on a developing brain than it might on an already developed, mature adult brain?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with what's going on in adolescence. And we spend a lot of time talking about how important brain development is in the first 3 years, but adolescence is actually a huge time where a lot of different things are taking place. There are new connections being made. The brain is doing something called pruning, which is sort of making its connections more efficient. So the bottom line is there is a lot of stuff happening, a lot of movement, and so it's a more vulnerable time for negative things and also a good time for positive things to have effects on the brain.
That applies to all kinds of substances and all kinds of behaviors. So young people are well advised to take good care of their bodies and brains, partly because there is so much going on and they're developing. Is there something specific about marijuana that makes it more problematic for young people than other things that we can think of like alcohol?
Yeah, well, it's hard to rank them, but I think really the bottom line, without getting too apocalyptic about this whole thing, is that there is now very convincing science that cannabis is just not good for developing brains. And many people in the healthcare area have been concerned that this science has been portrayed as being more inconsistent and less settled than it actually is. And to be honest, the research has really kind of moved beyond the question of if cannabis is harmful for developing brains and more as to how it's harmful. And, you know, I think the bottom line is no, marijuana is not the most toxic substance on earth, but it is hard to think of something right now where there is a larger gap between the perception of harm and the actual risk of harm.
So what is the actual risk of harm? If you're talking to me as either a teenager or me as the parent of a teenager, what do you want, you know, these constituencies to know about the risk level?
Well, the risk, and focusing mainly more in the mental health area, probably the place where the case has been made the strongest is in the risk of developing psychotic symptoms and psychotic disorders. That really has quite a strong evidence base behind it. But there are other areas as well.
Tell me more about that, and then we can get into the other areas.
Sure. So, you know, with lots of studies that have been done, some of them spanning decades, you know, I think overall there is it's been calculated that cannabis doubles or maybe triples the risk of developing a psychotic illness later in life. And that risk may be higher with the higher potency cannabis that is being used now compared to what it was back in the 1970s. And that the risk is even more elevated when use starts early and when use is more frequent.
So you're not talking about somebody who consumes marijuana and has an acute psychotic episode caused directly in that moment by the effects of the drug. You're talking about how the drug can act on the brain to either elevate or perhaps trigger an actual mental health condition later in life, not connected to, you know, the 24-hour period when, you know, the drug is sort of a highest potency in the bloodstream. But you're talking about actual psychotic illnesses later in life. How do we know that?
That's correct. Well, that's from a lot of these longitudinal studies that have been done. But you bring up a great point because there's been some recent studies that have shown that people who do develop a transient psychotic problem after cannabis use, those groups are at very high risk for developing a psychotic disorder that does not remit even if they stop using. And so those are the people we have to be particularly concerned about and really, you know, help them understand that, you know, their brain is really telling them something loud and clear.
There are some really important longitudinal studies, as you mentioned, that are going on, including the ABCD study that look at things including drug use over time and mental health over time. But we're not talking about double-blind studies where you have 515-year-olds and you make them all take marijuana and, you know, consume THC in high amounts, and 500 teenagers who never touch the substance. And then you look at how many develop mental health conditions later on. You're taking a self-selecting group of young people who say, these are my behaviors. So how do you know, or how does the science speak to this question of whether people who use marijuana are more likely to develop certain psychological conditions later on because they've used marijuana, or people who are already prone to having those particular mental health disorders might be more prone to also trying marijuana? You know, how do you take that correlation causation conversation and try to parse it in a way that's scientifically accurate and ethical?
True. It's a very valid point, and that's one of the criticisms, is that correlation does not equal causation. So I would say two things. One, the research has gone well behind that, and there are techniques, without boring people with a lot of technicalities, that can and have been used to be able to tease out the causation a little bit better, for instance, by measuring both cannabis and outcomes at multiple time points, or by doing studies in animals where you can do randomization, or by looking at things like THC content. And all of those studies still point to not all of them, but the vast majority of them still point to risk. And then the other point I would make is that these more naturalistic, non-randomized studies that we're relying on are the very same type of data that we use to say that hitting kids is not a good idea, or broccoli is good for you, or global warming is real.
Or pregnant women shouldn't drink alcohol.
Exactly, exactly. And so why there is this, you know, unexpected and sudden skepticism in this one particular area feels like a bit of a double standard.
Well, you mentioned at the beginning that you think that there's a huge gap between what the science is telling us and what people think or want to think, and you know that there perhaps is this pushback or skepticism that you see in the cannabis conversation that you don't see in some of the other conversations. So what is that disconnect then? Why do you think that's there, and what do you want people to know?
Well, yeah, I'm not here to try to shoot down every single argument made in favor of legalization or commercialization. But I think what I'm really hoping is that people go into this debate with their eyes wide open and an understanding that these are real risks, and we can't whitewash over them because we might lose money or it's politically inconvenient. You know, we can't just scream reefer madness every time somebody brings up a concern about cannabis.
Yeah, and but there are also conversations moving forward about legalization. Obviously, we're in a state that now has legalization, and we're talking about legal sales. So do you think that this conversation of youth risk comes into that? I know I said we're not going to talk much about policy, but do you think that that's why there's this disconnect, because there's such a push forward for legalization?
Yeah. I mean, I think financial concerns, personal use concerns, there's a lot of things that are going into why people come out with the opinions that they have.
Any other misconceptions that you really think people should be aware of?
Well, one that I hear a lot is that anytime anything bad is associated with cannabis, they blame it on cannabis being laced with something. And I'm here to say that cannabis all by itself can cause harms. It does not need to be laced with other substances.
And it's much more potent now than perhaps people in their 40s and 50s and 60s experienced in their young days?
Much more, about five times more than it used to be.
And does that have a triggering effect that's different, as far as you can tell?
It looks like this is an important factor, yes.
Dr. David Ratu is the director of the Pediatric Psychiatry Unit at UVM's Lerner College of Medicine, and he's medical director for the Vermont Department of Mental Health's Child, Adolescent, and Family Division. Thank you, as always, for coming on the show.
Thank you.